Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast, the number one spirituality podcast on iTunes. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm the UK's leading law of attraction expert, award-winning life coach, two times best-selling author, manifestation YouTuber, speaker, and badass spiritual queen. I'm here to help you awaken and turn your dream life into an abundant reality and help you create your positively wealthy life full of happiness, abundance, and joy. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. Hey gorgeous souls, and welcome back to another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episodes. Today I'm joined by the wonderful Elizabeth Rovere. And Elizabeth, if you don't know, is a clinical psychologist, yoga teacher, and podcast host in New York City, where she has a private practice. She is the founder and host of the podcast Wonderstruck, which addresses the wow and wonder of being, consciousness, and reality, and the transformative impact of awe. I cannot wait to talk about this. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and thank you so much for having me on the show. It's fantastic to be here. And as I've been telling everyone, I love the name of your podcast, Spiritual Queen Badass. Badass. So thanks so much for having me.
Yes, we're here to get all badass with wonder and awe today, definitely. But before we dive into all the goodness of your work, Elizabeth, I would love to know a question that I ask every single guest who comes on this podcast is, when did you spiritually awaken? What's your story?
Yes, you know, I love that you ask this question because I think it's cool that, you know, you're having people answer this and bring this to the fore and put it into the public eye. The question of spiritual awakening. And, you know, I've thought about this and there's like the subtle ongoing awakening, spiritual awakening that I feel like we're all on this quest and journey of, myself included. So that's like the subtle ongoing, right? Like we're spirit being born into the physical. So as soon as you wake up into the physical, it's an awakening. And then I think there's the glorious burst of phenomena, of spiritual awakening and phenomenon, which I think is perhaps in some ways more of what you're asking or looking for. So I can say, you know, I can give you that story, tell you that story, which was for me 18 years ago, approximately. I'm a meditator. I'm a transcendental meditator. And, you know, it was one day, you know, there is sort of a context, you know, I was also doing some psychological work. I'm a clinical psychologist by profession. I've been in, you know, eons of individual and also my favorite group psychotherapy. I am a lover of poetry, so I like to read and meditate on poetry. And just one day I'm meditating and I have this experience where I literally see this, like this being, like it is like an extraordinary, like serpent-like being with wings. It's like this fabulous green color kind of like rising up from the ocean. And I'm in my meditation, just in my apartment. I was like, wow. And, you know, watching it burst into this sort of glory and wings into the sky. And then, you know, I'm like, okay, and then there's my mantra, you know, and then I'm like, okay. And I was like, what was that? What exactly was that? I don't know. I don't have a context for it. And, you hear about people having visions here and there. And then, as I said, I'm a psychologist. So part of me was like, am I okay? You know, is this okay? And, it just sort of followed. And I think that the feeling is that it felt more real than what feels real. Like the experience of it felt like that phenomena, that experience, that vision is more real or as real as this table that's in front of me or the monitor or my coffee cup. And I was seeing a therapist at the time who happened to be a Tibetan Buddhist scholar and a psychiatrist. And I said, Joe, I was like, hey, like this happened to me. And he's like, it's okay. He said, people have visions during meditations all the time. And I said, well, why don't we ever talk about this? You know, I went to divinity school. I'm a student of religion. I've been going to these Buddhist talks. No one's talking about it. And nobody's talking about it as though it's a kind of, how would you say, like, it's in the norm. It's in the realm of possible. It is extraordinary, but it's extraordinary ordinary. And I guess the point of that aspect of awakening, if you will, or that kind of glorious burst, as I was calling it, is that it allowed me to feel like there is so much more than meets the eye. I feel more connected to the world and to people. Like it's exciting. You know, there's just more there. So that's my answer.
I love that. And what a beautiful answer as well. The two sides to it, like you say, and I think, you know, you're so right. And as you can imagine, I have so many different answers on this podcast from people, but a lot of the time people echo the same of like, I'm continually awakening, like I'm on awakening number 5 or awakening number 7.
And right.
I think it is true that, you know, we have these continuous awakenings and epiphanies throughout our lives. And yeah, there can be that one moment that really, you know, sets it on fire and kind of like sets it alight, so to speak. But, definitely, I think we have constant moments of wonder and constant moments of that awakening for sure. So obviously, that's where we got to on your journey. But how did we get from being a clinical psychologist and experiencing all of this to having the Wonderstruck podcast and obviously teaching all you do now? How did we get there?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I appreciate you asking it. It's, I've always been interested in, you know, what is the more than meets the eye, and, you know, what is really going on? You know, when people are talking, what are they really talking about? And I had, you know, when I was in graduate school, one of my professors, Marcia Vannicelli, said, she's like, if what's in the room is not being talked about, then what's being talked about is nothing. And it's like, what is... So, I mean, you know, I mean, we live in a world, and a lot of times we're not allowed to say something, or we try to be polite, or we can't really talk about it, or it's not status quo to mention. And, you know, as a psychologist, it's like my job is to really look at that. Like, what's really going on? I mean, you feel like it's this, but where did it come from? What's the origin? Mm-hmm. And so it's like kind of, it's looking at the unconscious, looking at the underlying phenomenon, experience, causes and conditions of how we got to where we are, or how the person got to where they are, and how to perhaps then change these patterns and look at things that shift. And, you know, a lot of people do too. We look at things holistically. So we're looking at your emotional experience. We're looking at how that impacts how does the emotional impact the physical? How does the emotional impact the spiritual? And the spiritual, as long as we're talking about it in a way that people are open to, with this context of wonder, or it can be religion. It doesn't have to be religion, but the spiritual aspect, the sacred aspect of being human or of being alive, these things are all integrated into what it means to be psychologically whole, or to just be whole. So it kind of went that direction. That was how I was looking at my practice in psychology. And then, you know, I've been a student of religion. I went to divinity school. So I always had those questions in the back of my mind. And, you know, my dad died when I was in college. And so it was deeply profound and sad. And then I always had these questions about like, well, but what does it mean? Like, where did he go? You know, and So I've wanted to understand more to the extent that we're capable of understanding. And rational materialism just wasn't about to get me there. I had to go into wonder and awe.
And what a topic to go into, of course. So most of us listening, and including myself, we may think, oh, I know what wonder and awe means, but how can that be something we learn? How can that be something that we teach? So what is your definition or meaning of wonder, and why is it so important that we cultivate this?
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks again for asking. So I go with, the experience of wonder and awe also is the definition, right? It's wow. And even when you say wow, the word, your eyes open, they kind of go back, the mouth opens. And Dr. Keltner, who's a social psychologist who actually wrote a book called Awe, he describes it. And I think his definition is spectacular, right? It's being in the face of great mystery, standing in the face of great mystery. And there's an expansive quality to wonder and awe. Like you're standing in the face of, let's just use a sunset as an example. Oops, sorry. And it widens. It's like you're just like, ah, wow. Like it opens your experience. And there's an incredible sense of opening and grounding and peace. But being in the face of great mystery, I think that is the best definition for wonder. It's not figuring something out. It's not getting to the point or reducing, right? And so much of our experience is getting where we need to go, figuring it out, coming up with an answer, focus, focus, focus. And focus is great. You know, look, there's nothing wrong with it. But we really need a balance of opening, horizon. So that's the quick definition. I guess that was quick. I don't know. Probably a bit longer.
No, it was perfect. And I love that definition because like you say, it's those moments that bring us into the present moments, those moments that ground us, I think are those wonder and awe moments, whether it's out in nature, whether it's looking at your loved ones. Like I know when I look at my dog, I feel wonder and awe and I just think, oh my God, she's so perfect. And it's like those small moments that we have where it just brings us and reconnects us back to our truth, I feel, of like that wonder and awe of, wow, just everything in this moment is perfect, even if that's not our definition of perfect or what even does perfect mean, but it's more of that feeling of, wow, like look at that sunset. How amazing is nature? Wow, look at this mountainscape. How incredible is nature? Or how amazing to be holding that baby in your arms, or how amazing to have that little dog in front of you or loved ones or whatever it is. And I think it closely ties into that feeling of gratitude as well, and that present moment joy where you're just in the moment. Like you say, you're not focusing on that to-do list, that what can I focus on? What have I got to do? Where have I got to be? It's more of just taking in the present moment and really, I think, grounding and rooting into your truth and who you are again. And I think we all need that in this, modern day world.
I love that you just said that because I think that is it, that it certainly connects to gratitude and joy and being in the moment. And even more specifically, as you said, it connects you to the truth of who you are, connects you to that, and it's anchoring. So it's kind of, you're standing in the face of great mystery and something bigger than yourself. And at the same time, it's anchoring and grounding. Now that's pretty awesome, right? I mean, to use the word, but it's that which is greater than myself that is an aspect of that which is inside myself. So you get the sense of peace and you get the sense of the extraordinary and the expansive, even if it's something like an everyday wonder, like you said, with your dog. I mean, it's a wonderful experience.
Definitely. And I think the more we can have those experiences as well, the more that it helps us to feel grounded, feel peace, feel all the emotions that we want in that regulated place. But here on the podcast, Elizabeth, we talk all things manifesting and manifesting our dreams using the law of attraction. So of course, I have to ask you, how can we use the power of wonder to manifest our dreams in abundance in your eyes?
So yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, right? I really, really do, because I think of being in a state of wonder is that of abundance. I mean, it's being in that. And then there's a way in which in that state, you're getting the ego out of the way, because the ego gets small where you feel like, hey, there's something greater than myself, but I still feel I'm very empowered and I start feeling more in the flow. And that is when it feels that there is, that is when abundance manifests. It just, it's like as it unfolds by me sort of being in a state of awe and being in a state where I don't have my ego. I'm not in my own way. You know, from my perspective, and you are the expert, so you can tell me, but abundance unfolds when I get out of my own way. Mm-hmm. And I wonder allows us to do that. And the more sort of grounded, the more that I can be abundantly the truth of who I am, it all unfolds.
I mean, you said it so perfectly, Elizabeth. I don't think there was any more amazing answer that I could add to that. But, you know, I 100% agree. I feel like previously when I first came across manifestation, you know, I was very much like in a very unregulated place because of the experiences and trauma that I had gone through in my life. So for me, manifesting was more of a control mechanism. And, you know, I was very controlling and I didn't know how to let go. I didn't know how to be present. I didn't know how to feel grounded and regulated. Definitely not. Whereas now, like, I've gone through, you know, a heap of inner work and really worked on, you know, me and my mental health and everything. I feel like the manifestations and abundance are totally different, like you say, because you're able to be in that present moment. And I always say to people, you know, the present moment's the only time you're going to receive your desire. It's not going to be in the past. It's not going to be in the future. So you've got to be in this present moment to truly receive your desire. But like you say, feel that peace within yourself. So absolutely, like, when we get out of our own way, we open up the space for that highest good, for what the universe wants to bring into our life instead of what we think it has to look like or how we think it should be. So I think it is that beautiful art of surrendering when we're in that place of wonder and awe, because we're surrendering to the universe. We're surrendering and saying, okay, this is how I envision it, but I'm open to it being even bigger and better than what I'm envisioning here and now. And I think when we're, like you say, when we're in that place of wonder and awe, we're just grateful. We're present. We're grateful. We get out of our own way. And I feel like things flow, like you say, they flow with abundance so easily because we're in that natural state of flow. We're not trying to resist. We're more allowing and we're just, I guess, yeah, receiving with wonder and awe. I feel like it's a receiving energy as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think it is a receiving energy because you're taking it in. You know, you're taking it in and it's grounding. And, you know, it's kind of funny, right? It's like there is a surrender to it. And that's why it's paradoxical, kind of, right? When you think about manifestation, like the surrender aspect to manifestation. And it's like, but you are surrendering. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to set my intention, which I think is fabulous. Like, set your intention. And then that's it. And then surrender. And then, like, kind of like enjoy the adventure of how it starts to unfold. Like, there's an excitement to that. Like, that's fun. Like, right? Isn't it? I mean, letting go of control, like, control can sometimes be, again, we go into that place where it's like, it gets smaller and smaller and more rigid. And then we get stuck. So I do think it's what you were saying. I think that we surrender, we set the intention, we surrender, we open, and we receive.
And I think it is about that adventure, like you say, because when you are setting that intention, or like with anything in life, even if it's not manifestation, when you're at the beginning of anything, you do think, wow, like all these possibilities of how something could go and what that could lead to and the opportunities that come from that. And I think there is a real big excitement energy with that because we don't know what is, you know, in our future or how things could happen in our lives or the opportunity that could come our way. And I think there's a really exciting energy to that as well, where we're kind of like at that beginning or the bottom of the staircase, so to speak, and we're like, whoa, like all these things that could come.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Can happen, and that is a moment of wonder and awe as well, where it is opening up to all those possibilities and opening up to the adventure of life and what could unfold with that.
Yeah, you know, it was funny, somebody was asking me about like how do you apply it in your everyday, right? And like, and I was thinking, oh well, the, you know, one thing I do is, like, if I'm walking to work every day, right, I just sort of assume I'm going to see and do the same exact thing. And if I set an intention, or if I think, okay, all right, let's take off what I think it's going to be like. Let me just be open to different possibilities. And then I walk down the street and I see things differently. I will actually see something else, you know, instead of my kind of expectation of what it's going to be. And I'm talking about more of like my sort of assumptions, the assumptions of what it's going to be. If I'm opening to the possibility of it being something else, you know, guess what? It's often something else, you know? It's like, why am I denying myself the possibility of all these cool things that could happen?
Definitely. And I think that's such an important thing to remember with manifesting, of like, why am I denying myself of all these amazing things that could happen? And I think it's, you know, I think that will hit home with a lot of people, of just that reminder of, yeah, like, I could be missing out on loads of greatness. Like, I don't need to restrict myself. I'm going to, you know, open up to all the abundance and all the possibilities and all the different things that could come into my day or come into my life. So I love that, definitely. This leads me nicely onto my next question, Elizabeth, then. So what are your top tips for being open to the extraordinary, and where can we start?
So, I mean, one of the first things I think is funny is, like, turn off your notifications on your phone, you know, like, put down the cell phone, you know, look, like, it's basically like literally being open to the extraordinary, because it is, there's a poet, Mark Nepo, who says that the extraordinary lies beneath the surface of everything that is ordinary. So it's just right there. And we've been conditioned to not see it. And I know I'm sort of speaking in these poems, or there's another metaphor, an aphorism by Lao Tzu, which is, a frog in a well cannot be told about the sea. So it's like, why am I sitting in the well? Like, the well is like when I'm like this, going around. And it's like, just set the intention to see the extraordinary, to be in a place of wonder, you know, like, so just say, like, okay, may I be, it's almost like closing your eyes and, you know, with a metta, like a Buddhist prayer, like, may I be open to wonder? May I be open to the extraordinary? If you pray to Jesus, if you pray to Buddha, you know, whatever your religion or your spiritual practice or your nature worship might be, you know, just ask, and or put out the prayer or intention. And it's kind of seems like so simple, and it works, right? It's like, may I? And then that is setting the intention. So of course there's that. But then any type of contemplative practice, any type of yoga, any type of meditation or breath work, I like the idea of doing yoga with your eyes closed, to the extent that, you know, it's not like some balancing pose that you're going to fall over, but doing your sun salutations with your eyes closed. It's kind of cool. Even if you go to a yoga class, when you close your eyes, it's almost like you lose sense of time. And there's something wonderful and extraordinary. It just puts you in a different space. You know, Dr. Keltner, again, I keep evoking him. So, he's fantastic. I think his book is fantastic. He talks about awe walks, which are going through a walk, whether it even if it's in the city, which can be like noisy and haphazard, but being open to awe. He talks about it mostly like taking those kinds of awe walks in nature. Forest bathing has been like lately something that people have been doing. Mm-hmm. But really being open. And one other thing that's kind of fun to do, like if you have a favorite song, you listen to music, actually go look up the lyrics. Go look up the lyrics of your favorite two or three songs and read them. And then maybe meditate on them. And you're like, oh, this is why I like that song. Look at the answers right there. This is what it's been saying to me the whole time. And I've just been hearing the tune. That's also something that's fun. So I guess those are what I would say.
Amazing. And great tips too. And I want to touch upon the time one as well, of losing that sense of time or losing track of time, because I feel like, you know, when we look at the universe, obviously, and many say that time does not exist in the universe. And actually those moments of wonder and awe really just connect us back to home, source, you know, the infinite abundance in this universe, where when you're watching that sunset, you're not going to be clock watching. You're not going to be thinking, oh, I've got an appointment in 10 minutes, or has somebody sent me that email? You know, you're just in that moment, observing that beautiful sunset and nature and just life. And I feel like when we really do, you know, think back over our lives of like those moments with our friends or going to a festival, or I don't know, those moments where we've, you know, those moments we really truly remember of, oh my gosh, I was so happy in that moment. I bet you weren't watching the clock. I bet you weren't, you know, aware of the time, because when we are in those moments of wonder and awe, we don't need time. We don't need to be somewhere or do something. We're in that present moment, being fully immersed in whatever it is that we're immersing ourselves in. So I think it's a good challenge as well to not use time when you are trying to get into the wonder and awe.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's true. I think what you're saying, it's like, it's almost like you can't. Mm. It's like it wouldn't happen. I think, you know, it's like, because it's like being in that moment, looking at that sunset, it's gone. The time is gone. If you're walking in the forest and, you know, the light's coming through the trees, it stops you in your tracks. And in that way, yes, I think it does stop time. I think that's true. Being in, and you put, it really puts you right in the moment in an expansive way. Like something's moving, and yet it's not time.
Mm. Oh, I love that. We have to put that as the quote of the episode. Something's moving and it's not time. So how has wonder and community changed your life then, Elizabeth?
Well, I think the first answer and the most important one is that there is a way that definitely, I mean, look, I still get in my own way plenty of times, but it does help me get out of my own way. It does help me recognize the obstacles that I put up for myself. It's like, hey, come on, wait a minute. What are you doing? There's a way that I do feel more connected to people. Not that I don't still get agitated, but it's kind of funny. It's like you put a bunch of people in a room that get on each other's nerves, like maybe, you know, family members or, you know, just in general, you don't get along. You put them in a room and you put them in front of something mysterious or a sunset, those people will come together. They'll grab each other's arms in a state of awe. They'll be like, wow, we're human beings in this together. Look at that. And so the internalization of that does feel like I feel more connected. I feel less, I guess, less egoic in that way. And that is the sense of community. And I think sense of community, you know, William James, the great philosopher, the father of American psychology, I kind of quote him a lot. I really like his work. And, you know, back in 1902, he said that, you know, our individual survival is dependent on meaningful community. You know, and, you know, look, I'm not saying you have to get it through wonder and awe. I feel like it's a great way to do it. But feeling connected, you know, respecting each other, appreciating each other, acknowledging that we maybe get on each other's nerves, but that we are a community, you know, we're in it together. And there's something life-changing about that, because it can feel so deeply profound, connected, joyful. You know, Mother Teresa also says, you know, well, I guess we should just say that, you know, currently in our world, right, there's a way that we're kind of divided, divisive. There's more of a sense of loneliness and emptiness now than there has been in the past. And I mean, you know, that sucks. I mean, I don't like feeling that way. No one else does either. And, you know, Mother Teresa says we've forgotten that we belong to each other. And, you know, wonder and awe. So Dr. Keltner actually studied this in his lab, you know, this thing where the eyes roll back and the mouth opens up a little bit, is the most universal of our emotional expressions, physically and by sound. So it is the most universally human experience. And in the emotional realm, so it's like, let's not forget that we belong to each other. You know, that's how it's life-changing. You know, it makes me feel more connected to the person walking down the street that I don't know. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. You know, yeah, all right. You know, we're in this together. You couldn't look or seem more different than me, but that's all right. I respect your right to be here. And whatever you're doing in your orange hat, that's cool.
Definitely. And I think, you know, since COVID and as times have changed, you know, things are more digital. And while that does serve its purpose, I think nothing beats that human interaction and that community and that connection with people. Because as much as technology is fantastic, definitely I feel like there is a lot of people who feel that kind of disconnection and want those in-person things still. And what, you know, I get it all the time, Emma, that people are like, Emma, do in-person events still. Don't just do it all online. And it's so great to be able to meet people. It's so great to be able to connect and hug and, you know, be able to be in a room full of people as well. So I definitely agree that there is so much power in community. And even if it's not physically possible in person still, there are ways to create aspects of that virtually, as we know. But I definitely think that there are so many ways we can connect to our community, like you say, out and about on the street or day to day or online virtually. So what would your tips be for people if they feel that they have been so great at connecting virtually, but want to be more present in their community, you know, physically?
So you were asking, what are the tips for connecting virtually and physically? Is that what you asked? Because it's sort of...
Sorry, no, just connecting physically. If someone's great at connecting virtually and they're like, actually, I really miss that physical community.
There's a ton of things. You know, first of all, as a group therapist, I have to say, join group therapy. That's always a great way to go about it. But there's also, like my friend Radha Agrawal does a whole kind of, it's called Daybreaker. It's morning dance. So she does it all over the world. People get up in the morning and dance together at daybreak, which sounds kind of like, you know, kind of what, mystical, shamanistic, bacchanalian, but it's not, it's actually sober dance in the morning. And, so I think that's a great way to connect. And actually, you know, something really simple as, literally, when you are walking down the street, if you walk down the street like I do in New York City and you feel like we're all in this together, you know, I sort of might smile at people, or I would suggest, like, smile at somebody, you know, say something to the cab driver. It actually feels good. People respond and there is a feeling of connection. And, you know, it might sound kind of like, that might sound Pollyanna, or it might sound, you know, simple, but it can really feel good. It can sort of, like, if you say good morning walking to your job, or, you know, going out and to the grocery store, it's a very simple way of experiencing community in that way. And I also think, oh, actually, I have to say this. I can't believe I almost forgot. So I have a friend, Mary Riley Nichols, and she says that she thinks that one of the other ways that you might interpret Jesus Christ's Last Supper is that he was saying, everybody needs to get together for a dinner party, you know, like having dinner parties, you know, sharing the food. And I love that she said that. It made me laugh. And I was like, oh, but I think having a dinner party or a brunch, like creating a community, starting a book club, maybe part of it's online. You know, don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen if you miss it. People want to be invited to your dinner.
So get cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Thank you so much for those tips. So my last question to you today then, Elizabeth, is what is one piece of life advice that you would like to leave my lovely listeners with today?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say, listen really well, listen to what's going on beneath the surface. Because if you just start to tune in a little bit, you'll hear so much more than you ever expected, and it could be glorious. So listen well, and then maintain a sense of humor. Laughter is fantastic and can be wondrous. So that's it.
Amen to that. I love that. Short but sweet but potent. Amazing. So Elizabeth, where can everybody find you if they want to learn more about your work and your podcast?
Oh, yes. So our website is wonderstruck.org. And if you want to find us on social media, we are at Wonderstruck Pod. So we're on Instagram and YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok, actually. That's been a new experience for me, is the whole TikTok phenomenon.
And if anybody wants to come and listen to your podcast, what can we expect to learn?
Oh, wow. So yes. So you will get to hear all kinds of things, from like learning about tantric meditation from a Hindu tantra scholar at Harvard. You can learn about awe and wonder from Dr. Keltner, who we've also interviewed. You can learn about music and the awe and wonder of music from Fern Cotton. Father Tiso, we just dropped his episode where he talks about the phenomena of monks transforming into a rainbow body after death. So it's like these glorious rainbows that manifest into the sky, and monks will actually engage in this meditative process through their lifetime to achieve this state. And there's been a handful of people having had this experience. And Father Tiso, the Catholic monk, is interested because he's looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're looking at that kind of thing. We're looking at Ayurvedic medicine. I mean, you know, you can apply awe and wonder to so many things. So those are some of the examples. Oh, I shouldn't forget Russell Brand, because he was a fantastic guest who really talked about, you know, Emma, his spiritual journey, right? Like his spiritual awakening.
Lots of exciting episodes we can go and dive into. I love it. And of course, I'll put a clickable link to Elizabeth's podcast and work in the description below, so you have a nice, easy, quick link as well. But thank you so much, Elizabeth, for coming on today. It's been such a joy learning all about awe and wonder. And I'm sure everybody has taken away some incredible tips. So thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Emma. It was fantastic. I really appreciate it.
So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for joining Elizabeth and I today. Of course, if you want to learn anything more about Elizabeth's work, you can find a clickable link below. Or if you want to explore my books, my videos, my coaching, or anything else that I have to offer, you can find it all at emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because we'd love to see you again soon. Don't forget you can also join my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where you can join myself and other like-minded souls, where we talk all things Law of Attraction and spirituality. I hope you have a fabulous week, whatever you are up to, and I'll see you all for my next podcast episode, which will be next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So love.